Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Kurt Bardella, Aaron McGuire, Chuck Rocha, and your host of the Ashley Davis Podcast, Ashley Davis.
They're on.
They're on us.
Okay. We're on.
We're here.
Wearing. We're live?
We are live.
We're doing live.
We are live.
Doing live. Welcome to the Ashley Davis Podcast.
Also, you were proud about that.
Also known as the Chuck Rocha Show. Or the Party Lines Podcast with Aaron McGuire.
And Kurt Bardella.
Or the Practically Political Podcast with me, Ashley, and our dear friend Dave Spencer.
I feel like you're all going to find out very quickly. We all have our own podcasts, and we're here together to talk about politics and America.
It's very incestuous, much like America.
Oh, wow, weird. We're seeing it start to get weird early.
One, two.
I think the most important part is what we have to say. Is this is a bipartisan group,
mm-hmm.
and we... love each other in our real lives, and we're able to spar.
Okay.
But I do think that today is really about sitting here, being able to be on stage in front of the Capitol, in front of the White House.
Melting.
Melting, for sure. That we are, more importantly, here to celebrate our country and the 250-year birth.
Of America,
the greatest nation the world has ever known. And since a lot of people here may not be familiar with us, why don't we go each round real quick and introduce ourselves? Chuck, you want to?
Chuck Rocha, I'm here. Live and living colors. Glad to be here. I run a podcast called the Latino Vote Podcast. I'm also a political operative. And I'm also Ashley's body guy.
And you're on CNN like every minute.
It's true.
With me.
With Ashley.
That's
like
right.
This morning.
We were there this morning. 5 a.m.
I'm Ashley Davis. I am a Republican, but also a very reasonable Republican. And live in Washington, D.C. Am in the consulting space mainly on, I represent clients in front of the government, AKA meaning lobbying, and, but also do media and speaking.
I am Aaron McGuire. I am a political operative and comms professional by trade. I am also a Republican. I've worked for almost every Republican, major Republican in the party at this point, including President Trump, Senator Cruz, Senator Thune, former Speaker McCarthy, former Speaker Paul Ryan, Senator Ron Johnson, Governor Ron DeSantis, you name it. There's a Republican. I've probably worked with them at some point in some way. And I also do media as well. So if anybody is a Gutfeld fan out here, I watch that. I am on that
you
show.
You do the Gutfeld.
Very frequently. We got a Gutfeld fan. I see you. All right.
I'm Kurt Bardella. I'm a recovering
Republican. My dad says you're very funny, by the
way. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I'm Aaron's mom's favorite political pundit. You'll
it's
see
true.
Me sometimes on MS Now. Last night, I was on CNN.
My mom loves Kurt more than me.
I'm a country music influencer. That's what I'm best known for, actually. And I'm excited to be here with my bipartisan friends. We can disagree without being disagreeable, which I feel like is at the heart of what this country was founded upon. And so to get us started out, we have, I did a lot of notes.
He did none of
for
these
this.
Notes. I wrote a whole page of stuff. Himself, and he is gaslighting all of you into believing he wrote
Aaron
this.
Likes to take credit for my
Fake
work, and that's okay.
Fake
but
news.
I'm going to ask Chuck. I'm going to ask
myself.
Chuck first. What's one thing America gets right that we don't appreciate enough?
I think how you can come here and change your life. I think if you were born in America, it's one of the greatest privileges. I'm the Democrat here with the cowboy hat and the boots, but you know, I was born in a trailer house in East Texas to a 15-year-old mama, and I've never been to college. I have a criminal record. I was a teenage father myself, and I get to live one of the greatest lives ever because I was born in the greatest country ever, and I think sometimes we take that for granted, Democrat, Republicans, or independents.
Mm-hmm. Ashley, what do we get right that we don't always appreciate?
I actually 100% think democracy. Everyone talks about, oh, our country this, our country that. And the best story I have to say, I see my husband and my son, We had someone visit us from Congo when Donald Trump won in 2016. Mm-hmm. And he said to us, do you realize that you had 50% of the country or whatever the numbers were that didn't vote for this president? But no one is getting killed in the streets. No one is having anything happen to them.
Yep.
That they accept the elections. And, you know, I don't want to go into the other story, but I mean, like, they it was 100% supportive of the fact that democracy works in our country. And I think that's a really, really important thing that we all need to appreciate.
Yeah, someone from the Congo, that must have been mind blowing.
Yeah, he said if someone would have lost in our country, they would have been murdered on the street.
Yeah, yeah, I see that. Aaron, since you wrote the question, credit to you.
Oh, now I get credit for the question.
What's your answer? What don't we appreciate enough other than your wit and humor?
Honestly, I think it's our freedoms. And I mean that as broadly as I can. There is really no other country in the entire world where you get the freedom, the opportunity, the First Amendment protections we get here in the United States truly don't exist anywhere else in the world. Our ability to be on this stage and disagree with each other and be friends and have these conversations as much as we do is purely only because we live in the United States. I don't care if you live in Canada or England, you do not have the same freedoms guaranteed that we have here in the United States. And I know for a fact, we all take it for granted every single day that I can wake up and tell the world exactly what I think, exactly how I feel, in the exact voice I want to say it, and piss Kurt off every time. And it's great. It's great. Look at all the fun.
It does make you question the virtues of the First Amendment listening to.
Oh, boo.
But no, I wholeheartedly agree with everything you just said, Aaron McGuire. And I think for me, you know, as someone who I was adopted, you know, wasn't even born here, didn't go to college, don't have a college education, which doesn't surprise anyone who actually knows me. The fact that on America's, you know, 250th anniversary, I could be sitting here in the National Mall with the U.S. Capitol in a backdrop. You know, the Washington Monument straight ahead, and being able to participate in the exchange of free ideas, differing opinions, is something that, as someone whose jobs it is to talk and to disagree, and to stir the pot and offer conspiracy theories to make Ashley laugh, it is a really amazing thing that.
By the way, I'm getting chills a little bit.
Oh, see, yeah.
Stirring oratory only here in America.
Bring the thrills.
You know, but Ashley brought up, you know, the issue of democracy, and there's a lot of obviously conversation about democracy, and where we are as a country. Aaron, is democracy healthier than we think it is, and the way that we talk about it on TV every day?
Absolutely it is. Again, the same way I think we take our freedoms for granted, Ashley mentions democracy, I think that as well. You know, I did an election night coverage in 2024, and I was asked, you know, what if Kamala wins? What if Trump wins? What does that mean for democracy? What if Trump wins is actually what I was asked on air. What does that mean for democracy? And I said, it means democracy works. It means that the voices of the people were effectuated in the way it was supposed to. And if that meant that Kamala won or it meant that President Trump won, it meant that we did what we were supposed to as a country and we're allowed to express our voice. And I always believe that our democracy functions so much better than, again, our freedoms. And we're on autopilot so much in this country for our freedom, we don't even realize it.
Chuck, is democracy healthier than we think it is, or are we on the bubble? What do you think?
I think it ebbs and flows. I think we become more patriotic during times when people come together. And to Aaron's point, when we're on autopilot, sometimes we don't think about it enough because we take it for granted. Mm-hmm. Like the story I just told about my family in East Texas growing up on that farm. Like, if you'd asked me as a kid what democracy is, I probably couldn't have told you because I didn't know. Because in Texas, you know, the schools aren't the best schools that I went to. We got a lot of Texas history. We never got a lot of U.S. history.
Yep.
I find myself, and I was telling Ashley this the other day, of watching documentaries now about our history and about our forefathers' history, because it's so insightful to me now as a 57-year-old grandfather. I want to know that. You would think, well, why would you want to know it now? Because you want to appreciate it. And when I have these conversations with my grandsons, you want to talk about that because our family's come a long way from Guanajuato, Mexico, to my mama's family that came from Kentucky. Like, all of those stories are kind of woven into our democracy.
Yeah. You know, Ashley, you know, you were in the White House on 9/11, and you've had a front row seat to what it looks like when democracy is truly, our way of life is truly under siege from an enemy who hates everything that we represent. How did that experience color how you would see America and democracy going forward?
I really think that even though we have so many different ideas, we have so many people that we get so angry, like we right now we're like in the middle of a midterm and everyone's like fighting against each other. And are the Democrats too socialist and the Republicans too conservative? But at the end of the day, everyone rallies behind America. And I actually think what's happening right now with FIFA being in our country.
I love
it. Right now,
I
actually think that it's something, it's not the mainstream media. It's not that everyone's watching internationally saying, oh my gosh, America's so chaotic. No, there are people in our country and understand every day the freedoms that we have. And I think, I mean, I'm very biased, obviously, towards President Bush and in regards to what we were able to do after 9/11. And I'm 100% agree that President Trump loves our country as much as anybody else. And that and what he's done to be able to, I mean, look at this mall right now. I mean, look what we're looking at. I mean, this is something that is unbelievable. And the Capitol behind us, we could all fight. But at the end of the day, people love America. And I think that people rally behind that when there's a crisis.
You know what? To that point, it's almost like a family here in the United States where it's like, no, no, no. I can talk bad about my mom. You can't talk about my mom like that. That's my mom. Like, right? Or like, listen, like, I love my mother, as many of you were here earlier. Kurt's my mom's favorite person in the world. And but it, like, if you made a joke about my mom, I'd be like, no, 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 I can make that joke about my mom. It's kind of how we are in the U.S. Like, no, 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 we can all be in here. But then if somebody else said something or did something in our country, we'd be like, excuse me.
Exactly. My son just got back from overseas. He was in Africa for a couple weeks. And he came home and he was just like, wow. Like, I think unless you experience other cultures, like, what we have is something that's amazing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Chuck, you know, Ashley mentioned a minute ago, you know, we have the midterms coming up. Obviously, a lot of the political conversation is about that. What's one issue that isn't getting enough attention, enough oxygen that should be as we head towards, again, a very consequential decision? Turnout plummets in midterm years, but I wish it wouldn't, because what our legislators do in that building over there matters just as much as what happens across the street on Pennsylvania Avenue.
I think going back to democracy, we take it for granted. I won't talk about affordability because that's all the midterms will be about. I'm not going to talk about Trump putting his name on things in D.C. because that's what Democrats will want to talk about. What's the most underrated issue out there is something I think we take for granted, and that's our public lands. I do and spend a lot of time outside hunting and fishing. And because
hunt.
We are...
You lost the G.
Right. Yeah, hunt. That's how you know it's real.
Luke Bryan said, hunt, so hunt. Loving so every
when
day.
You, when you do that, again, we take it for granted that that public land will be there for us to use, which was why it was set aside. You know, I was, again, watching these documentaries and trying to get some learning. And when I did, it talked about all of the things of like us creating a national park so that our grandchildren, my grandchildren, that'll be 10 in October, get to see these amazing things. And I grew up really poor, so we didn't really get to go see or have vacation at a national park. We got to go to Six Flags, and I'm glad my mama could afford that. But now I'm getting to see it, and I'm getting to experience these national parks with my grandsons at the same time. And because of that, I think that that's an issue to where we should be protecting our public lands and our national parks at all costs. Now, you would say, well, who would mess with that? Well, the folks in that building back there have had bad ideas before.
Yep.
And there's lots of corporations and people with money that would like to have access to that pristine land because it's a great place to put a hotel or to build an airport, maybe if you watch Yellowstone. But I think that's an issue that we should talk more about, which is our public lands and protecting them.
Aaron, what do you think?
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Honestly, I think truly the most underreported thing going into the midterms is going to be ultimately, ultimately, I don't actually think that there's an underreported thing. And when I wrote the question, I was trying to actually figure it out for myself. Like, you like the, you know, public lands are important. But when I think about it, we've talked about redistricting so much. That's going to be so monumental in these midterms. But also what hasn't been talked about yet, because it just happened today, is that FEC is the Supreme Court ruling on FEC versus the National Republican Senatorial Committee when it comes to coordinating campaign funds between committees and campaigns. When it comes to underreporting, that change right now in the ability to remove the barriers between coordination. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be one of the most underreported things, because this is going to change the game big time.
All of the money.
Going into November.
Ashley, what aren't we talking enough about?
I actually think that the president does a good job on this, but I also think that we don't talk about our military enough. I really don't think, I think it's become politicized because yeah. of various, you know, whether we agree if we're in, you know, Iran or we're actually even in Ukraine. I mean, I actually think that we need to all recognize that we have the best military in the world. And that we should thank these people that are serving our country every day. And yep. that to me is something that's more important. That is the backbone of our country. And I know under the Bush days, we, and I'm not saying the Democrats do not appreciate.
Oh, yes, you are.
I'm not. I'm saying, though, I know what George Bush did for the military. I think President Trump's done a lot for the military. I think, you know, I do think that it's the best thing that we have in our country.
I think that one thing that we don't spend enough time talking about is our kids. Mm. You know, everything that we decide, everything that we do, every policy that's enacted will have a larger impact on our kids and the next generation than the one that is happening right now at this time. And just again, speaking as someone who spends almost all of my life revolves around getting our kids to point A to point B, getting to the right schools, preparing them for the future, all those things, student aid and the cost of actual living life. I feel like the political conversation at times doesn't talk okay. enough about
that's my microphone.
About our kids. Aaron, what are you breaking?
I'm throwing stuff around. What did you expect?
My God.
I can't just sit in a chair without items.
Yeah, someone get
God.
This. You know, we're here right now. Four of us. We are what you would call Washington insiders. But we are here amongst, you know, just the American people as they check out the exhibits.
Like we're so different than them. We're amongst the American people.
But this is a juxtaposition.
Hoy, hoy, hoy.
You know, when people talk about the swamp, when people talk about the insiders, they're talking about folks like us. What do we get wrong most, do you think?
Oh, it's the Acela corridor mentality that life only exists between D.C. and New York. I got to tell you, I can't.
And L.A.
And L.A., yeah.
I mean, into that.
Right? Especially, and I mean this as kindly as I can, reporters during campaign cycles, when they get out into Texas, when they get into Iowa, when they get into Wisconsin and Michigan, they're like, wow, everything we're talking about on the news is not what they're talking about in real life. I think that happens every cycle, and it's happening yet again, because it's their instinct that the power centers are the only thing that matters. And then they get out and they're like, oh, who knew? It's that idea of touching grass.
Yeah. Actually, as someone who straddles that line of like real life parenting, like, you know what it's like to take your kid on a college tour and to prepare him to take that next step in life. But you also know what it's like to be amongst the elite and the insiders and everything that goes on in the Acela corridor. What are we missing? What's the disconnect between the two worlds?
Chuck actually brings this home to me all the time when we're together, because he's like, what we're talking about, even whether it's whatever channel we're on,
mm-hmm.
it is not what the rest of the world's talking about. And I do think if I go home, I'm from a small town outside of Pittsburgh. When I go home, they're talking about beef prices. They're talking about their electric bill. They're talking about how they're going to get pay for X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. And we miss that here. So we're talking about the elitism, I think, about how this bill becomes a law that actually no one cares about. All they're caring about is how they're going to pay
yep.
for tomorrow or for tonight. And so I think we miss it completely. And I know you have a lot to say about
it. I do. You're going to make my eye twitch. I think both parties get this wrong when we talk about working families. I don't think Republicans have any idea what a working family is, just like I don't think a Democratic Socialist does. I think if you've got a red, white, and blue hat on, you got your face painted, you got a let's go Brandon flag. I don't think that the press understands, or people in D.C. to answer the question specifically, understand those people.
Yeah.
Just like the opposite, I don't think a woman with a master's degree with purple hair with a ring in her nose in New York City understands working people. And both of those, D.C. will tell you, are the working class of each party. When working class ain't got time to be at a Donald Trump rally.
Right.
And they don't have time to have the privilege of having a master's degree. So I think that that's where we get that wrong, is that we assume because people in D.C. have not touched grass or been separated from the privilege of what a lot of people have here. The privilege don't make them bad people.
Right.
My wife gets in my ass all the time about just because somebody's doing something don't mean that they're not well-intentioned. They may not know no better, to my mama's
sure,
point.
Sure.
Right? But they just, I think that's why I'm a good political consultant, because it wasn't that long ago I had a truck repo. And I remember the feeling of walking outside and my truck being gone. That's real shit. And I think people in D.C. have gotten away from real shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, we were on this morning with a candidate, and I'm not going to call him out, but he was talking about how bad it is that Elon Musk became a trillionaire and how horrible it is because of all this X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, I didn't say anything because it wasn't, we weren't part of the conversation. But the point is Elon Musk made his money. Why is that bad? I understand that there's people in this country that are suffering. Of course they are, and everyone should give back. But why are we going to underestimate people's growth and ability to succeed in this country? That's what we were built on.
Sure, sure. You know, Aaron and Chuck, you guys are, you're political operatives.
Aren't we, Chuck?
Yes, we are.
Chuck likes to say on TV that he's a political operative, and I have to remind him that I am as well, because there are a lot of people who do TV who call themselves political operatives.
You mess up one time. It's just like every other woman in their damn life. They never let you forget it.
Yeah, heck yeah, heck yeah.
TV is forever.
Never going to let them forget it. And I can tell you, I'm one of the few, Chuck and I are one of the few political consultants who actually still do political consulting that say they're political consultants on TV. There are a lot of people who pretend they are or get that chyron, and it's like make believe at this point. It'd be like if I said I was at Aquinas High School
campaign in decades. But my question is, why is it that we have so many people on both sides of the aisle who are really good at campaigning but suck at governing?
Because it's easy to be splashy sometimes than it is to be thoughtful. And to, like, it's sometimes it's easier for people to do that kind of pithy thing and do a good video. And also, if you've never legislated, if you don't know the process it takes to actually make a bill a law, there is a lot to it. So I think it is like that. You could either be some people have both. That's a true
sure, political talent. Yep.
Most people have rocks.
But yeah, most people have one. They're either good one way or good the other, and you got to try to make up for the deficit where you can. What do you think, Chuck?
Look, after watching...
Sure. She wants to ask a question.
That is not in our purview, the staging or the signing, but just because you asked, I'm Kurt Bardella. That's Aaron McGuire. That's Ashley Davis. That's Chuck Rocha. We got two Democrats, two Republicans.
Yeah, we're podcast hosts.
Yeah. So yeah. We have three podcasts on this stage right now. We have Party Lines, which is me and Aaron. Practically Political, which is me, Ashley, and our dear friend Dave Spencer, who couldn't be here today. And Chuck, you and Mike Madrid, great consultant as well. You have a podcast that is called
Latino Vote Podcast.
There you go. And you also see these guys. All of us were on cable news a lot. These guys were on CNN together this morning. She's on Fox. We'll be on Fox
this evening.
As a matter of fact, I was on CNN last night. We all have worked in politics, Republican Democrat politics, for a better part of two decades.
Yeah,
I understand. Oh, I couldn't agree more. Again, outside our pay grade.
Yeah, not. Let's keep going.
All right.
So to answer your question about the government, again, back to me watching these documentaries. Let me tell you about some history. So what I've learned is that purposefully the government has been set up to work slow. The House of the People is supposed to be reactionary to the people. They work a little faster, right? But when it gets to the Senate, people complain. But it's set up like that so folks can't change this democracy or the government in a very quick way.
That's why we protect the filibuster.
And to Aaron's point, there are politicians who are really good at campaigning that are horrible at legislating. And I've elected a lot of nerds that are wonderful legislators, but I had to bring them kicking and screaming as a campaign because they are as exciting as dirt.
And good luck fundraising with someone. Yeah,
to get them across the board. So I think finding that, and what's interesting about that is presidential politics are different because you're not a legislator, so you can ride on vibes. And I am an unpopular Democrat sometimes because I give Donald Trump this credit, is that he's a great campaigner, but also in the same vein, in a different way, Barack Obama was that. Both of these two men brought lots of new people to bear in my industry, which was going and getting votes, which I find fascinating to study and to figure out how did you do that. Mm-hmm. It's because they touched a nerve in the American electorate that we don't see that often.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Ashley, what's one problem? If you can wave your magic wand and be in control of the world, what's one problem that you think that both parties should solve and could solve that they just don't?
Well, I don't know if it's both parties that can solve it, but I think what's hindering our legislative process right now is social media and the 24-hour news source. And I know we can't get rid of it, and I can't wave my magic wand. But the reason that we're so polarizing is everyone's talking in 10-second bites. Everyone's talking in 30-second bites.
Right.
But also the good part of that is every single person that's elected on the Hill right now, it talks every day, every hour to their constituents. So they're held accountable, which is what you see. There's all these people that are going to be switching probably this year because people are tired of the status quo. Mm-hmm. However, I do think that it also hinders being able to get something done, because if you're always talking to the next soundbite, you can't agree or make a deal to get actually anything passed.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Aaron, what's one issue that Washington insiders obsess over that real people don't?
Everything.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, yeah, Ashley's completely right. Washington insiders obsess about the media echo chamber, and the American people don't care. Honestly, there are things that drive the news cycle up here that cause like the biggest freakouts in the world. And 99% of the country have no clue. I'll text my cousin Amanda and be like, hey, did you hear this? Sometimes just to get my own reality check, because we can all be guilty of disassociating with reality sometimes, being in the
corner. You are definitely a big, never mind.
I am not a swamp creature yet.
But I also think, how many people, if you went out to America, how many people would know who the Speaker of the House is?
Yeah.
Zero.
Who is it?
Mike Johnson.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
No, but seriously.
No, it's true.
Not even a quarter of a percent.
Yeah.
Let me answer the question, because I think it's a really good one. And there's really an issue.
Thank you. I wrote it myself.
Is the issue of immigration. People will think of that as a real polarizing issue. But it's one of the few issues where the Chamber of Commerce and labor unions, who are arch enemies, agree that there should be a legalized, efficient pathway to citizenship for lots of people who want to come here like my parents did for a better life.
Yep.
But both parties, I'll do both parties here, and for different reasons, but it's both parties have used the issue as a political issue, not to actually care about solving the issue. And because of this thing in our pocket and what you talked about with algorithms that are supposed to make us hate each other as Democrats and Republicans, that issue is used as a wedge. We use it to say they hate us and look what they're doing. The other sides are like, we're using this for this issue. But it's one of the few issues where business and labor and lots of folks are like, yeah, we should fix this once and for all, but did not be a political issue like it's both parties has used.
Yeah, we have a lot of issues that end up kind of getting held hostage that actually the majority of Americans very much agree on. And the only place where there is disagreement is in that building over there, because there's profitability.
I mean, the housing bill is an example, right? That passed with massive bipartisan support and is just waiting to the 10-day period. It's on its 10-day
pushing away.
So I think what we should do next, and I'm going to put my matching hat. We should do
Star Spangled Freedoms.
We should do our round robin
of
flashlight lights. Yeah.
Terrible posture.
Okay. Is this where I'm going to take my clothes off?
Yes.
No.
Chuck has to take an article of clothing off.
You better get these right.
This is what everybody wants.
Wait. It's good.
This is for you.
What you came for.
It looks cute.
It does. I mean,
I'm all about matching.
I know. Look at the two of you.
Look at these guys.
He's going to wear that on TV the other day.
That better be the Christmas card I get from you guys this year. All right. Lightning round. Let's go.
Lightning round for the last part, for making sure that we are 100% historians.
Yes. I can't read. But
I just started learning. I was watching Netflix. Oh, never mind.
Let's do it.
Who is the most underrated president?
Dwight Eisenhower.
Oh, wow. Right out of the gate.
I love Dwight Eisenhower. I think he's been an extraordinary president. And I think even before his time, the work he did as the general commander and leading into D-Day, plus the work he tried to do to help JFK before he went into his administration, I think Eisenhower is one of the most underrated presidents.
God, you're a nerd.
I love Dwight Eisenhower.
Madison.
James Madison.
Absolutely. So, Bill of Rights, really. He was also an author of the Federalist Papers, obviously one of the founding fathers. I think he's very underrated.
Got it. Chuck?
Lyndon B. Johnson.
Hmm? Oh.
I think he is, because he went against his own party and some of his own quote-unquote culture to see through Kennedy's legacy after he got shot.
Okay, I'm going to go more.
How about that?
I saw that on Netflix. H.W. Bush is incredibly underrated.
Woo! I actually was going to say that first, and I decided to switch. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like the W president now, that one, because he does the drawings.
All right. All right. Who is the most overrated president?
Obama.
Oh, come on.
You want to ask me my opinion? I'm going to give it to you.
I was asking Ashley.
That wasn't on the list.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Oh. She's not going to answer that question.
So that's
okay. No, not the most overrated president. Most overrated politician.
Okay, fine.
Is Gavin Newsom.
Woo! Love that.
We're going right now. Okay, you're here and now.
We're throwing heaters.
Chuck?
You could do politician or president.
Sure.
Okay, Ted Cruz.
I will fight you on that
he's
one.
Super smart.
He is brilliant.
Yes. I'm not.
He's
that's why I don't like him.
He's absolutely brilliant. One of the most brilliant people I've ever met.
Yes.
It all depends. Wow. Some people said
Ted
I'm brilliant.
And I
I've never been to college.
Ted Cruz is absolutely brilliant. I actually think he's pretty underrated for how brilliant.
Yes, agree.
Fascinating.
Again, my opinion.
See, okay. We all get a little banged up around here.
Oh,
I didn't like that.
Okay, next.
Okay, who is...
Wait, who did you say?
Yeah, who did you say?
Whoa, I was just moving on for
no.
the sake of
no, you got to grill us. Let's go, homeboy.
All right, I think that the most overrated president is John F. Kennedy, and I'll leave it at that.
Ooh.
Overrated.
Okay.
Overrated. Okay, I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
I would make a joke, but I won't.
Best political speech.
Okay, wait, I wrote this down. Reagan after the Challenger exploded.
Oh, that was a great speech.
I know.
Oh, mine was going to be Reagan at Normandy. He gave a speech on the beaches and about the boys of Normandy. It was a really great speech.
Yep. Chuck, best political speech you've ever heard?
Young Obama at the Boston Convention.
2004.
The 04. Yeah. The 04.
That was on my list, too. 2004 was just.
I was there.
You were? Mm-hmm. What'd you do? Like,
he took his clothes off. What does Chuck always do when he gets
after I took my clothes back on, I sat on the steps because there were no seats. That's what you remember.
Did you know?
No, that was the kick of his political future.
Yeah.
Like, when you're there a lot, like, when you heard that speech, did you know? Like,
No. Again, I'm not that smart when it comes to history and things. I didn't know what I was listening to. I just thought it was the best thing I'd ever heard.
Yeah.
And then after I got older, I appreciated it more because I've been around so many horrible speeches by politicians. I was like,
a lot of bad ones.
What about, like, the Gettysburg Address?
That's obvious. We're going
more modern.
We're in our lifetime.
I wasn't there.
In our lifetime.
Okay, what was yours?
George W. Bush. At
9/11.
Yeah.
The rubble speech, probably the greatest speech I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah, I agree.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Best political comeback not named Donald Trump.
No, you skipped one. Okay. Okay, good. I'm going to dance to it.
Okay.
Who's going
first? What is the most political comeback? No, I was going to say Trump. Trump's the best political comeback ever.
The best political comeback. Listen, like it or lump it, Kevin McCarthy.
That was going to be mine.
Yeah, Kevin McCarthy. I worked for Kevin McCarthy. I obviously think he's a brilliant man, but the way he stayed in leadership, had one of the fastest rise in leadership history, became the speaker, had no shutdowns, had a deficit-reducing bill, elected the most veterans, females, and minorities to the Republicans in the House history, Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah, the 15 ballot, like... the
juggernaut?
Hey, yeah.
Chuck.
I got one. It's going to throw you off. You can take it off.
Okay, thank you.
It's hot.
I spent a career making commercials against George W. Bush about the war in Iraq.
Yep.
And about all the things and making fun of him about all of his family and he ain't that smart and all of that. I love him now. The new George Bush is funny and he's always picking.
For what it's worth, he was always like that.
Right. I didn't ever give credit. Right. But now I see him. I'm like, man, like that
mean.
Guy.
Yeah, you're mean. Yeah, mean. Mean.
The comeback was... Before. Joe Biden in the primary
in South Carolina.
I'm not sure if that was a comeback, or
was
just like everyone was scared of Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders campaign.
I had to go back and look at where we were politically in that process, and he was left for dead. I mean, truly, like, no money.
The call was made to get everybody to drop out.
Yes, exactly. Which is going to happen again.
I think Biden. But anyway, okay. Best campaign slogan.
Happy days are here again. Who was that?
I have no idea.
Roosevelt.
I was
happy
alive.
Days are here again.
Okay. All right.
Ted Cruz during the 2016 campaign, his logo was Trusted. I actually liked it. I thought that. I was like, all right, well done.
It's not Jeb.
It's not exclamation point.
Jeb.
Exclamation was Trusted. I like it.
Trusted. Okay.
Trusted. Okay.
A little biased, but I always like not me, us. Like Bernie's thing in 2020 was that it's not about me, it's about us.
You guys need to go into history. Although, about I Like Ike? I mean,
that's a great question.
I don't know, but I didn't want to
school.
I was going to say High Hopes. Kennedy, High Hopes. Sinatra turned it into a song. Like,
what was Reagan's,
Morning in America.
Morning in America. Okay, there's two more that I wrote down. It's the economy. This is a nice
thing.
It's economy stupid. I know that was James Carville more than it was Clinton. But the other one, this is the best one ever, and it wasn't a campaign slogan, but the sore loserman stuff that came out after Bush won in 2000, it was over Lieberman. The sore loserman was like the best.
I do campaigns for a living. I've never heard that one.
Oh,
I don't know what you're talking
say
about.
Sore loserman.
You're a nerd. You are a nerd.
Proud nerd.
You're so excited about this bullshit.
Random trivia.
here, yes.
Okay. Who is the political figure you like to most have dinner with?
That is a really
tough question. I don't like any of these guys enough to want to have a meal with them.
We're not modern guys, but let's go back.
I would think
Grant?
I'm thinking Margaret Thatcher.
Well, yeah. Oh.
I just think that would be such an interesting conversation.
And the crowd goes wild.
Yes.
Thank you.
The Iron Lady.
What do you think?
I mean, that's
early Queen Elizabeth.
Ooh.
That would be interesting. Early Queen Elizabeth. That would be really interesting.
I don't like. Really, I mean, I knew Edward Kennedy fairly well, and when he was a senator, and there's so much. Even though some may think he's overrated, you know, when the Kennedys, when the brothers were in the White House, like to watch that power dynamic, again, Netflix history. I'd have liked to have seen that. I'd have liked to have been there to have dinner with them.
Yeah. Because
they were young. I mean, they were 35, and I had a kid when I was 19. I can't imagine, running a country and doing that when I'm 35. So I'd have liked to have dinner and ask, you know.
I get that.
Netflix will only get
I'm 37, and I'm terrified about the idea that I'm eligible to run for president.
Oh,
like, we
got
to raise the standards.
We got to raise the standards. That's mortifying to think about.
Oh, my God. Actually, I'm the grandmother.
I'm the senior statesman here.
I think the person I would actually enjoy having dinner with the most is probably George W. Bush and all of
That's a great one. I bet you W. would be a great dinner partner.
He is a really good dinner partner, and he's fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably more fun when he drank.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
One historical event you wish you could witness in person?
Berlin Wall.
Mm. Fall of Berlin Wall.
Yep. Okay.
The Alamo.
Oh.
Oh.
And you can't take the Texas out of you, Chuck.
I would have liked to have been. I'd have thrown rocks and stuff. Huh? Stuff.
So I know it sounds weird, but I would actually like to have been there when the British burned the Capitol, because I'd be standing there going, good luck, guys. I know how this ends. I'm going to tell you how this ends. It ain't good for
you. They're an inner time machine.
Yeah, I'll be like, just judge
it. Good luck, friends.
No, I wanted to see you burn the fireplace here. Yeah, I know the marks in the Capitol from what you guys did. And then be like, watch how this ends. Just like standing there eating popcorn.
I think being at the shot heard round the world would have been really cool.
Hmm.
Oh, it's just no. Like,
well, yeah.
My time machine, like,
or the Boston Tea Party.
Yes, I'd be like, let's go, Kings.
I don't know what they're gonna do with the word Tea Party 100 years later, but
yes, it'll be an activist.
Okay, this is our grand finale,
and it's full choreography. No, I'm kidding.
Yes.
One prediction for American politics over the next 10 years.
No need to bother.
That TV advertising will become, at some point, less than 50% of where we spend our money.
That is the most political consultant I've ever heard.
And when we talk about inside baseball, we're talking about Chuck Rocha.
Chuck, you're just going to move the money
outside that.
He's talking about media buys.
And no one
that will define the next decade.
Nobody's here. Y'all go ahead.
And that's why they call him the operative.
Yeah.
TV.
I think people are going to continue to appreciate our country, even though I'm going to leave this on a high note, even though we're all bickering or the outside world thinks that we're crazy.
And signals.
Beep, beep.
I'm showing off my muscles.
Look at those
guns. I know.
But I actually think the FIFA being here again, showcasing our country, not in New York and L.A. and Miami, our real part of our country. I think the Olympics will do it again, even though it's mainly in L.A., but just really show the fabric of our country. And I think that it's going to continue to grow and admiration.
All right. What's going to happen next 10 years?
Well, I do agree with Ashley. I think that this like run up right now between FIFA and the Olympics, I think that the U.S. is getting almost like a rewrite globally of what people believe about our country. I also, listen, I'm going to take a little bit more of a controversial turn here.
Uh-oh.
And I will not be surprised in the next 10 years if Democrats do not aggressively advocate to have non-U.S. citizens be able to run for president of the United States. Non-U.S. born citizens run for president of the United States.
Like
well,
me.
Didn't Obama do that?
Well, no, I depends who you ask, not me.
Okay.
But you get my point, though. Like, I wouldn't, like, I've said it before. I think that, like, Democrats are going to try to push for Zoran Mondami to be able to run.
Okay. That's Aaron's crazy conspiracy theory for
it's not a conspiracy. When it happens, y'all are going to be like, I heard that girl on that stage say that months ago.
That's exactly what they're all going to be thinking.
This guy knows. Oh,
this guy will definitely be thinking that Aaron Moore. All right. Prediction for the next 10 years. One, LeBron James will never win an NBA championship ever again.
The Buffalo Bills will win a Super Bowl.
The Buffalo Bills will win a Super Bowl if there is a God.
Go Bills.
Donald Trump will try to run for a third term.
No.
Wait, that's not the right. So wrong show. Sorry. Something aspirational about the next 10 years. We'll still be here doing this.
Yeah.
No, I'll be, TV. I will be 61.
She's 45.
That's all. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Thanks for being here. Thanks for watching.
The waitresses and your bartenders.
America.
And watch this on YouTube.
Yeah. And go.
Okay, so thanks for watching Practically Political with Ashley Davis, Party Lines with Aaron McGuire and myself. What the hell is the name of your thing again?
Chuck Rocha Live tonight at the Saturday Night Live.
There you go. Thanks for listening to the Ashley Davis podcast.
Yay!
I get naked. Come take a picture with me, y'all.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.